There they go. Here we are. Welcome to the first show of 2026 of Chaos Theory on Texas Sports Unfiltered. I'm Wags. That's double R. You guys heard the news. Tom McKay is coming over in about 15 minutes. We'll be doing a polar plunge right around commercial time. I'll be switching the view, the vantage point. We'll be going from roaming style, I guess, because we'll be leaving the studio here. We'll go outside real quick, do the polar plunge, and then we'll come back up here and finish the show in the studio after all that. But yes, we have the Winter Classic tonight. Caps took the loss to the Senators last night on the ice, but we have a few games on the slate tonight or today, and then the Winter Classic tonight. Delora, how was your New Year, buddy?
Hey, I made it to midnight.
So did I. I was playing. I tasked myself out with playing Monopoly. We were doing board games.
That's a good call.
Sure as shit, double R. As soon as midnight struck, we took a picture, a screenshot of the Monopoly board, and we're like, "That's it. We're done. We're out of here. That's over."
Yeah, no, we had a couple of people over, and we played some games. But I did make it. You know, I was just so hyped after that big Texas football win. You know, the adrenaline wouldn't go away. So I think that helped.
Nine players opted out, and you still got that type of result. Now, again, I know that, you know, Michigan's program was in disarray and Poggi doing whatever he can to kind of keep things at bay, but turning it over to Whittingham now, and we'll see what reins he can take over and see what Michigan can kind of build from the ashes here, right? Because I was expecting maybe a little bit of a fight for Michigan, but, you know, after the first half, it looked like Texas was able to pull away with that bad boy.
Yeah, the third quarter is when Texas just really, you know, hit the accelerator and just kind of took off there. But you really do. I mean, watching Arch play, you know, when was that? Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon. That was really cool to watch. I mean, watching that dude, he's doing the progression from game one to the last game.
Here's one thing too, though, right? Like, I'm hearing all these national pundits say he's gotten so much better since midseason. He's made so many improvements. That may be true, right? That might be true. But also, he has not had receivers that have been able to catch balls consistently, right? Mm-hmm. He's not had an offensive line that's been able to get the protection down consistently. He's been going through some hiccups and ups and downs too, all right? And yeah, is it warranted that the preseason hype of him being a Heisman this coming up season? Absolutely, it's warranted. Last season, sure, it was a lot of namesake material, right? But and I guess going off of the number one, you know, preseason ranking too, they're going to, you know, list the quarterback with that or associate the quarterback with that. But I mean, we sit there or not we, but a lot of the national pundits put down Arch Manning for a better part of the year. Right. And then to back their or to walk their shit back after what he did in the latter part of the season, said, oh, he made so many improvements. No, this was his skill set, right? He's just had people making plays on top or I guess helping him connect the other plays too. Cause it takes two to tango when you're the quarterback, man.
And the whole part of it is, I mean, there's a comfort level now. There's a confidence that he has. You know, when you don't play with confidence, that's sure directly going to affect.
That no truer words right there. When you don't play with confidence, ain't nothing going to go your way.
And that's the thing, like, you know, when they show him on the sideline saying, you know, he's not going to give a fuck anymore. And they're like, this guy's developed a tenacity. I'm like, it's always there. It's that now it has been brought out because he's doing what he's comfortable doing. And that it really has, because you're right. You're right. I mean, so many people did swear this guy off. I mean, it's kind of the Quinn Ewers effect right here, where that's kind of what it felt like at one point. But once all of this started to work well for him, imagine if they can run the ball, Wags. If you add a running game to this, how deadly this dude's going to be. Talking about Arch, were you surprised with the Livingston news breaking yesterday about hitting the portal?
Yeah, a little bit so, because they're in the same room, right? They share the same quarters. I think that maybe Arch would be able to kind of keep him at home at bay, but, you know, people want to blossom where they have to, man, you know, and maybe this isn't exactly the spot for Livingstone. And if that's happening, I think the thing that I'm starting to deduce now is who all's coming into the portal, right? Yeah. We saw the same type of reaction with Wiser now, and Livingston is out too. So maybe there's some players coming in, man.
I truly think that that's the ultimate sign that, you know, whether it's Cam, you know, whether you're really going to go get that dude, if you are the leader, because it sounds like Texas is the leader in that. But, you know, when Livingstone, you look and you've got Wingo and you got Mosley, those two guys you would think would get the bulk of the catches. But where it sucks for Livingston, he really was the constant all year when we talk about Arch, the maturization.
I thought Mosley was constant too, right? I thought Mosley and Livingston was the most consistent of all out of the wide receiver room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was the constant. I mean, I know he didn't have the most receptions, the most yards, or maybe he did, but he was the one when Arch didn't have that comfort level that we're talking about. He didn't have that moxie that they talk about. Livingston was the one that was making plays for him because he had that confidence in that dude. So it's going to be a sucky loss that he's going, but I mean, you got it. Kind of the writing's on the wall, and he's the guy that's left out. Just like
you know, Weisner. I mean, you always want to keep your family at home, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody that wears the burnt orange, you kind of want to keep them here as long as possible and have them graduate from here. But no, I mean, my thing is to anybody that leaves the locker room, man, more power to you. Hopefully you go out and you have a tremendous career, you blossom and you get into the league, man, and you do great things moving forward. So,
and this is where this is all. Oh, by the way, happy open portal day, because the talk of the portal all the time, the portal is actually now open today on January 2nd.
Yeah, pieces can move now. So
pieces can move, and you know, is it going to be Cam Coleman? I mean, it would appear. I mean, you would think that's why you have this sort of shifting around. And watching Arch Manning the other day, it's like, okay, you add a piece like that, but what if? I mean, I hate to be the grassy knoll guy, but what if Cam Coleman comes here and doesn't do what Parker Livingston did? I don't think that would happen, but I mean, he dropped the ball at Auburn. I saw that. So, anyway, I hate the portal. God dang it, man. It's like, just
why do you hate the portal? Why do you hate the portal so much?
Because I just don't like how the teams flip over. Year after year. I mean, I know it happened with graduation.
It's free agent football, man.
That's right. That's for pro football. And I guess that's where I have to wrap my mind around. College football is professional football. It really is.
It's no more amateur sports, buddy. It hasn't been amateur sports for a long time.
Here's the old man effect, Wags. I think that these kids carry so much clout, that these kids command everything and they are totally in charge of all this. 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. I think that's what it is. It's old man syndrome.
To where all right, well, old man, let's go back to your post game there and talk a little bit about what we saw between Michigan and Texas here. Let's talk about it. What do you like?
Like I said, I'm just glad we had a football game where both teams appeared to want to play. And, you know, watching Bryce play quarterback, can I just say that some of the officiating there was kind of just not good. I guess I shouldn't be surprised the way that third quarter drug out, man. That third quarter took an hour and a half damn near, didn't it? It was pretty slow, pretty long.
The thing that I wanted to point out, I know Arch had a fantastic game, but we were worried there was a knee-jerk reaction with Weisner and you know, him wanting to leave now, and you know, who's going to be able to tote the rock? Did we, you know, have we seen enough from the law firm of Simon and Clark, right? Well, the latter part of that, Clark came out last night, or you know, on New Year's Eve, and took 20 totes, right? And 20 totes gets himself over the century mark there. And I think it was a Michigan program that's in disarray. Okay. But can we take a little bit, something out of this game with a 100-yard rusher, and maybe looking into not just him as a 100-yard rusher too. Look at the way they were able to gouge with Arch Manning too, right on the ground too. So is there something positive that we can take from this spring game, essentially a glorified spring game, and move into next year of 26?
I like the running attack there. I mean, I think that you have yourself solidly a number two. I'm assuming a number two running back, because you're going to go out and try to find number one.
If the crystal ball says the ball is coming here, and that's the case, right?
Right, right.
Clark and Simon, it's a nice little spell to have those two back there behind ball, if that is the case.
So. Absolutely. So that's a really positive sign. You had your offensive line intact. I mean, I think that those guys played well. You did still have just the undisciplined football that we were kind of joking around there in crosstalk. I mean, damn, what do you got to do to fix that? I mean, that's kind of the basics there. I mean, get that solved. And you have to think that if you go and you add a wide receiver one and you add a running back one with these pieces that are already here, you're going to have a pretty damn prolific offense in 2026 with Arch Manning, a confident Arch Manning at the helm. If you can bring back your tight end.
Yeah, and this is the part of the year where we can do the X's and O's, right? Like, we can go to the drawing board and look at the depth chart and see, you know, get excited with the pieces coming in and potential pieces that are going to be on the board, right? And then, of course, we can't buy in too much or drink too much of the Kool-Aid, because that what happened this past season might turn out. So we can't get too much of the hype, so.
And the thing about it is, I think that that's where we can kind of judge this a little bit different last year, because we did go into this season with a lot of the burnt orange Ray-Bans on, to where we're looking at the last 2 years. Well, look, all those receivers were gone. There was extensive turnover that we saw in the offensive line. The secondary, I don't think we realized some of the deficiencies that were there. We just didn't want to see that. We knew who was gone from the defensive front, but we thought that it was just going to continue to roll like it did. Now we're seeing, I mean, these guys that are making plays on defense, look, if there was any question about Ty Anthony Smith, that dude totally answered all that shit on Wednesday, right? That dude was a caged animal out there. And you had Brad Spence all over the field, and these guys.
Yeah, Brad Spence looked good too. Brad Spence looked like he could roam, man. I mean, he just looked natural in there. Who else really turned my head on defense too, dude?
Warren Roberson. Warren Roberson was the one guy where he's like all over the field, and that dude is just laying people out. Roberson knocked himself out that one time.
It was Roberson. It was 24. It was Roberson.
Dude, he hit that dude so hard. I'm like, son of a bitch. I mean, and then look, on the Underwood touchdown, that was a fumble. Who made the play? Roberson. He was the one who was just all over the field. So now you're seeing all these pieces come together. And now I'm thinking, okay, now is when you have that optimism, because these dudes are coming back. You know who you've lost for the most part, other than Parker Livingstone, you know, that played on Wednesday. All that shit's back.
Yeah.
You've got running backs that look ready to make that next move. You've got Wingo. If you get him holding on to the ball, Mosley. There's that big if, right? There's that big if again.
I don't think Mosley's a question mark. I don't think Mosley's an if, right? I think Mosley did prove himself. Hell, to me, I thought Mosley was wide receiver one, right? I know a lot of people wanted Wingo and Livingston to kind of come into that. I guess that mantra, right? But no, for me, like, wide receiver number one was Mosley. Well, when he started to show up, right? After the injury, after he was able to get time on the playing field. And yeah, that's when Mosley, I guess, started solidifying himself for me as wide receiver number one. And a lot of that is the confidence too with Arch, right? Finding, you know, that wide receiver that's going to be able to haul in balls and not just, you know, randomly have the drops that seem to plague the Texas Longhorns wide receiver room all year long. So
and that was the other part that it took, you know, five games to get Emmett Mosley back. But
again, coming back from injury too.
So. And he's hurt again. So that's the only other part to where, look, man, that stuff is going to happen. You have to be prepared for that. But it's, you know, you just have to. But the whole thing is that you have Arch Manning playing at a very elite level right now. I hope Jack Indries comes back. I think that we see a pretty solid change right there. But even if he doesn't, Indries had a game that I wish he wouldn't have had, because he scored the touchdown. So, you know, the agent's probably like, oh, man, your stock's going up.
That's just it. To that point, his stock did kind of rise in the latter part of the season, right? Like towards the last month or the month and a half, you started to see injuries get a little bit more involved in the offense. Here's the thing. You're going to need a blocking tight end, right? Yeah. We've talked about this from time to time. And until Texas is able to lock in a blocking tight end and go with multiple sets, there's going to be mismatches, or I guess there will be deficiencies within the red zone, because there's just going to be, you know, pressure off the edge that, you know, injuries can't, if injuries is able to stay in there, injuries won't be able to block some of the shit that the SEC teams throw at him. So they're going to have to scheme him out and be able to slip him and be more viable in the red zone, or more of a threat in the red zone, because it was just inefficient this past season.
And I think a lot of it too with the tight end is that maybe we saw some of the forethought there that maybe Indries doesn't come back, because you saw a lot of Nick Townsend on Wednesday as well. I think
that's a good point too. But again, like, I don't know what to take from New Year's Eve, because again, we're looking at it as a spring game, right? And looking at to see what the potential is going to be out there for 26.
Yeah.
So I took some of that as maybe, you know, reps got taken down a little bit just because of Sarkisian knowing what he has and a few other players and just kind of wanting to get a little bit more spotlight on others that didn't get it towards the end of the year or towards the last campaign.
Yeah. You know, the things that I really didn't like, I mean, obviously the discipline and the penalties, I mean, but you know, that's still,
that was expected, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's
hopefully that does clean up from next year. I mean, I know that's a joke, 135 out of 136. We got some room for improvement, sure, right? But come on, man. You're a blue blood team. You should not be, your discipline should be a lot better than 35 of 136, right, man.
Especially by game 12 or whatever number this was. I mean, it's like it steadily got worse. It's a pretty low bar where you say if it's only 10 penalties, that's good. I mean, not that it's good, but that's kind of the expectation. The other thing, Wags, that was kind of surprising to me on Wednesday, and again, like you said, glorified spring game right here that happened to involve a potato chip company, Cheez-Its or whatever they are. Special teams were not good. They made Andrew Marsh look like a superstar running kickoffs and punts back. And like,
I'm not trying to like cop out of it or anything too, right? But let's consider the environment of the game, right? Spring atmosphere, spring ball atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is everything going to be buttoned up? That's my question to you. Especially if we were in a regular season campaign and things weren't buttoned down tight, do you think the hatches were going to be, you know, tightened down even, you know, extra tight this for this bowl game?
Yeah, if you're in a college football playoff game, I think that all that's much better because
100. Yeah, if you're in the bracket, it's different, yeah. Right? But
and there's so much of it we don't know.
You're playing for Cheez-Its. Come on.
Yeah. You know, I didn't go player for player down the special team side to see who was actually playing. But when there was so much disarray on the offense and the defense with who's going to start, who's going to play, where's the short end of the stick going to be on special teams? And you had guys going both ways, but that'll get better. Now that will get better. The penalties, I'm like, that damn well better get better. But you did. I mean, you had Grayson Middleton making plays. You had Cade Phillips making plays. You had a lot of these dudes that are going to be the foundation building you forward into 2026. In a very, look, man, this is going to.
Yeah, I'm excited for Cade Phillips.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young talent in the secondary too. We had questions about the secondary a couple of weeks ago, right? And I feel a lot better about the secondary now too. So
yeah.
Again, I think a lot of that stemmed from when Buki went out, right? And we were trying to figure out who's going to be able to kind of patrol this secondary or patrol, you know, the entire defense, honestly, or platoon the entire defense, honestly, and lead them, you know, on the field and kind of get them in the right spots. We saw a little bit of a mishap with that. And then it kind of, you know, started throwing a little bit of rumors out there or a little bit of rumblings out there. It's like, hey, man, is this defense going to be okay? So I think we're going to be all right. I think the secondary is going to be fine. I think we
will. I just feel a lot better after that game. And look, I mean, quite frankly, after the last, you know, month and a half, if we want to call it a regular season, that going into 2026 and going into the, you know, spring, that a lot of questions not necessarily are answered, but at least there's stuff in front of us that's going to give us the positivity that that there is a path there for you to where last year we were just assuming things were going to, like you say, that they were just going to reload. Texas isn't at that point right now. This staff and
you
and
gotta have
changes on the staff.
You can't expect a succession plan to just be able to reload. You gotta have stuff built like Georgia. You have the depth built like Georgia and other schools like that. All right, so we're gonna get into the commercials real quick. We're gonna talk to our sponsors, you know, pay some bills real quick. And then we're gonna turn over to the pool session.
Yeah, go ahead and start. I'll get that rolling if you want.
Right on. So right now there's a new lawyer in town. You guys know the drill. It's Ryan Hurricane Hecht. When the storm hits, you got to call Hurricane Hecht. Proud Texas Longhorn fighting for fellow Texans. He's not just a lawyer though. He's a Longhorn through and through, and he brings that same fire and pride to the courtroom with that burnt orange suit. If you're injured in a car accident or you got any type of personal injury at all, just give our guy Ryan a call. 512-938-8929. Again, lottery numbers, 512-938-8929. Email Ryan at ryan@hechtlawfirm.com. That's Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. Tell him the crew from TSU sent you.
Absolutely. New or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, if that's on your bucket list for 2026, we're going to tell you about the folks that have been doing it, this family, so many years, the Covert family, and of course, Covert Bee Cave, that's one of our benchmark sponsors right here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. We talk about them each and every weekday. Covert Bee Cave, covertbcave.com. You can be a satisfied customer just like these
folks. You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Absolutely, nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. We talk about Tom McKay is going to be a part of the Polar Plunge happening over at Casa de Wags here momentarily. How about AV consultations? How about in 2026, you get set to have yourself that badass home sound and viewing system? It's AV
Consultations. Hey, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street. Hold the door for people behind us. Tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charity. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics. But more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
Boom, right there. avconsultations.com 255-8678. McCall Custom Homes, one of the highlights of my 2025. Went back last week and I was thinking, let's go over the highlights of 2025. And I can tell you, in a personal standpoint, one of them was, number one, making a great friend, my man Mike McCall. But at the same time, our primary bathroom has just been transformed, and that happened in 2025 thanks to our friend Mike McCall and his amazing crew and trades at McCall Custom Homes. For over 40 years, his father-son team of Central Texans doing it for Central Texans. You don't just have to believe me. Check out the A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Check out the 5-star Google reviews. Talk to Bucky Godbolt. Call or text me. I'll tell you all about what they did for us. And I'm telling you, so much of this was not just the product that we ended up with. I mean, that in and of itself is the final thing, but it's as this is going on, folks coming by the house. Hey, here's what we're doing today. Hey, what do you think about adding this? Totally up to you, but I think that this would be really cool. And these are from master tradesmen that have been doing this for years and years and years that are telling you, I think this would look cool. Really hard to say no when they're right. And you can be a satisfied customer as well. 512-633-9580. That is your free estimate waiting for you right there. Estimation, as a good friend used to tell me. Your free estimate, 512-633-9580. Be sure and mention Texas Sports Unfiltered. Check out the gallery of projects at McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Become just like Double R was in 2025. You do it in 2026. Be a satisfied customer. It's McCall Custom Homes. Be sure and mention Texas Sports Unfiltered. You'll be glad you got together. So Wags and Tom heading out to the pool. They're going to be doing the polar plunge. I'll go to the Coda text line, 222-9328. There we go. That rolls off the tongue. Great point right here. I know y'all have talked about this, but Texas must master the portal. All four quarterbacks left in the CFP were acquired in the portal. And then it goes on to say, talking about Chambliss playing D2 last year, the Cam Colemans and so forth, for success. It's finding the offensive and defensive linemen, linebackers that can come in. And it really is where I talk about not liking the portal. And just to kind of backstory some of that, what it is for me, I heard Nick Saban talking about this over the weekend, towards the timing of it. I'd love to see the shift in the calendar like he's talking about. The fact that right now we're sitting here talking about on January 2nd, 2026, that the portal has opened up and boom, off they go. Like the NFL. And had him there for a moment, so we'll wait for that. Oh, sorry about that, Wags. Wags, give me a thumbs up if you want me
to. You have to add it, Rodney. Backstage. We can't add it. You have to add it. We've been waiting.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. It's freezing out there, man.
All right. Head down. All right. Here we go. So we're going to get them added.
You have to add it, Rodney. Backstage. We can't add it. You have to add it.
Oh, I got it. So That's the other part of that right there, to where that is the portal is so beneficial, and it sucks for the D5 schools because you can go find those dudes. You absolutely can go find those guys. And that's where, like we're talking about with Cam Comey, maybe don't go to them. Go find the diamonds in the rough. All right, let's go live. You're in Round Rock. It's a Poodle Plunge coming up from Tom McKay and Adam Wagner live on
radio. Okay.
All right, boys. You were set to go. Hopefully you can hear me.
Oh, glasses.
All right. Take a look right there.
Pool plunge.
The pool plunge. I'll tell you, this is a must-see TV right here. Look at these beautiful beautiful stallions about to dive in.
Hold on. Every hockey player in the world.
Hold on. I don't know if I'm doing this.
You're
right.
Doing it right. You got it. Katie, you're fine. We're all good. For the Winter Classic.
Winter
Classic.
Ready?
Go. 1, 2, 3.
Whoa, you had a
sorry about that.
You had a shotgun and then you had an Olympic diver making his way in.
That's cold.
Yeah. How was it, buddy? Cold. How'd that feel?
Oh, my God.
You got some shrinkage going on, my man?
54 degrees.
The shrinkage.
It was cold. 54 degrees. We'll be right back in.
Oh, my goodness. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Good boys. Man, straight off diving right into the pool. There you go. 54 degrees. Damn, I got something I have to do at 10:15 or 10:25. I couldn't be a part of that. But very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Wow. That was epic.
I'll tell you, I really don't have a meeting at 10:25. I'm just not going to do that.
Oh, man. Of course, I was watching backstage. I had to jump in for a second. That was awesome. I wasn't sure if they were really going to do it. Let me rephrase that. I knew Tom was going to do it. I wasn't sure if Wags was really going to do it. And boy, he got out of that pool as quickly as he could, didn't he?
I like how you had the two different styles where you had Wags going in, you know, like Hope Solo or one of those divers. I don't even know if that's what she does. And then you had Tom doing the raw dog cannonball, just straight in.
It is cold.
And Tom toughed it out a little bit too. He was like slowly going to the other side of the pool to get to the steps to hop out. Wags was like, I got to get out now.
You have no idea, man. It says 54. It feels like 44. And Tom's just out there just living it, just soaking in the air too, dude.
Is he still out there? Did he get back in?
What? I don't think he did. I don't think he did. But yeah, it's cold, dude. It is cold.
That was awesome.
Well done.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for jumping in there for a second there.
Yeah, I know it wasn't needed, but I was locked in. That was a great bit, guys. Well done. Very well done.
So, I mean, we were out there for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. The shirt was off. The wind was blowing up. And Rodney's just continues. Hey, are you guys good? Pull us in. Let's get it over.
Yeah, I forgot you were on a different system out there and couldn't pull yourself. I saw you looking around. I'm like, yeah, your camera's fine, dude. When are you going to jump in? So it's all good.
And poor Katie didn't want to be on camera. She didn't want to have anything, you know, from her mouth come out. Hey, thanks, BK. So, yeah, it was always fun. You know, she's always trying to work behind the scenes anyway. She never wants to be on film. But thank you so much, Katie, for doing that. And Tom coming over for doing the polar plunge. And yes, the Winter Classic tonight. Make sure you guys watch it. The Rangers versus the Panthers. Celebrate hockey, because we will be getting into it here on Chaos Theory with Texas Sports Unfiltered.
So is that – so when you hit the water, I mean, was it like –
God, you feel it as soon as you get like it, everything just like the needle, like you lose your breath because of how cold it is, right? And then you're just like, oh, and then Tom's just like chilling and swimming in like a seal and shit. But nah, man, I got to get out. Yeah, I got out. I see the comments. I got out very fast. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Jay Guns, you're good. I got you, man. I'll stay on with you. I got you.
Yeah. No, good stuff right there. We'll get that cut up and edited, because you'd be great form. It really was. It was like June.
I was on. I was a cliff diver back in my day, in my life before this one. I was a cliff diver. So
it's well done. It's absolutely well done. I like it. Like it a lot. Good stuff. Tom McKay does check in on the Coda Text line. It's cold, but not Lake Michigan cold. No shit.
Tom's been able to do all that kinds of crazy shit. I cannot. Tom, you don't have to leave. You can say we can get some. I got to do the second hour now. So I was going to say we can get some breakfast or some lunch, but I think I got to do a 2-hour show now. So.
You got to pull Tom in. Get some Tom McKay on.
Tom McKay up in here.
Lone Star Playbook. Lone Star Playbook. So Wags, what I was rambling on while you were out there talking about with the portal thing, the other thing about the portal, just to kind of sum it up right there, is where it talks about Texas mastering the portal. And I think the thing about it is because we automatically go to running back one, wide receiver one, all of those, like offensive linemen. This is where you need offensive linemen. You need some linebackers. Go into this portal right here and find guys that maybe aren't at Miami, Ohio State, Indiana, you name these prolific programs that are still, you know, Oklahoma, whatever. Go find those dudes that are maybe not going to cost you as much money, for one thing, but are just exceptional players that you can get in and make them demand the kind of money next year that they're not demanding yet.
I think the question that almost every coach is looking at now, right, is like, how do we make our program like Indiana? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, what did Indiana do that, you know, so well that turned their program, or like just made their program come out of nowhere? What did they do so well that we need to kind of have some insight on or look in on and maybe, you know, take a little bit out of their pages and start, you know, kind of rekindling what's going on here? It just can't be a perfect season and all things are aligning right for Indiana. Look at what Cignetti's been able to do over his course of his career, wherever he's gone, right? Like he's had winning, wherever he's brought James Madison, that program. I'm not saying that he is the reason why James Madison got into the playoff this year, but clearly he laid a strong foundation there before he left. Right. And I think I saw a comment earlier about, you know, people needing to look in on Indiana and seeing what they are doing. Yeah. Maybe it's, you know, steroids or something, you know, tongue in cheek steroids or something like that. Maybe it's just the fact that Cignetti knows how to win, right? And take a page out of that dude's book. I think that's the question now. Like, everybody's going to be addressing the portal, but I think ultimately people got to take some direction in and kind of look at what Indiana's doing.
I think that really is, that's a great point right there, to where it does come down to coaching, and it comes down to, like we're talking about right there with the comment about mastering the portal. Yeah. To where
you go. And he wins. Like, he wins everywhere he goes. He has won.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
And the thing about it is where it actually is pretty cool. Look, he could have taken the money and run right now, because we're sitting here talking about Lane Kiffin. And for the folks asking about why is Lane Kiffin so excited last night, LSU is paying him if Ole Miss wins. So that dude made money last night. That was part of that whole thing.
What did he say? He said, go win it all. He said, go win it all, man.
Yeah. So, I'd be excited too. I would totally be excited because, yeah, he's getting paid for that. But it really is where you win that portal and you find those things and you build. And that's what that program has done. So it's funny that we talk about with the college football playoff, to where there's no Cinderella. Cinderella doesn't happen. I'm here to tell you, dude, if you get Ole Miss against Indiana, especially with everything that's gone on at Ole Miss, that kind of is a Cinderella matchup, right? I mean, those are two teams that we knew they were going to be good in 2026, five, whatever this is, but we probably didn't have them penciled in. I thought Georgia would overcome all this and win the
national championship. I still had Georgia winning it all. Even going into the even that last drive, I thought they would somehow. Now, of course, not when there was 1 second left, right? But I thought some way Kirby Smart would able to work the refs or lean on the refs well enough to where, pull the Krzyzewski card, right?
Yeah.
To where Georgia would find a way to sneak out of it and squeak by, right? But nah, man, credit the Ole Miss for getting it done. Charlie Weiss Jr., if this isn't enough for him to get promoted to a head coach or maybe start having that conversation of him going, you know, into a head coach position, my God, man, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, just with everything going on in Ole Miss, and I, you know, we sit here and talk about the fallout and all the disarray going down with Michigan, right? But I mean, whenever a head coach leaves, that creates disarray and discontent into the locker room. It just has to. It has to naturally have some type of negative form, right? And still, Charlie Weiss Jr. being able to come out and call one, and credit to the defense too, right? I'm not taking anything away from Ole Miss's defense. Being able, yep, you have to be able to stop Georgia. But being able to put up 30, you know, plus 20 plus three scores on Georgia is great, right? When you're in the 30 marks, that's fantastic in terms of that Georgia defense. So again, just everybody counting out Ole Miss and Charlie Weiss Jr. And here they are getting ready to, you know, still contend for a national championship going into the semis. So
it's been really cool to see that you've continued to watch them elevate themselves and come in, and then especially beating Georgia like that. You know, it's that's been great to see. But now this is where I think, and where I go back to the calendar of the portal, like Saban was talking about yesterday, to where it's like, okay, now the portal is open. So now you got Charlie Weiss and you have all these guys that are still hopefully going to be able to prepare Ole Miss for, you know, their next battle here with Miami, because I think that's going to be Miami's a team where you got to watch those guys. That's just a scrappy bunch right there, to where
they're very fed. They got a lot of team speed on defense, right? Tons of team speed on defense, which I thought that was the reason they were able to hang with Texas A&M. I didn't think that would be the way moving forward, right? I thought Ohio State would be able to boat race them. I thought with their physicality, they'd be able to outmanhandle them. And Ohio State also has speed too to go with that physicality, right? Miami shut everybody up. I still don't know what to think about Miami. You know, we're gonna have to ask Paramount Sports.
That's right.
That dude, Lee Sterling's got a nice pulse on Miami though. So make sure you're tuning into Texas Sports Unfiltered for that.
And that's where
you had no clue about Miami. I really don't know. I don't know if Miami's for real or not. I don't.
Yeah. And that, you know, I saw a lot of yesterday about, you know, the teams with the bye week losing and all that, you know, Tech, one of them, you know, obviously in the conversation from yesterday. And I'm like, I think what happens here is when two teams play, the better team wins. You know, Tech, where you're thinking that a Tech team coming out of the Big 12 is ready to do incredible things in the college football playoff. I wasn't totally sold on that. Who they play this year?
I think we've seen the product of the Big 12, right?
That's exactly right. And that's where
if that's the best that the Big 12 has to offer, or BYU.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
For the folks saying that it sucks that BYU got left out, I'm like, oh, that had just been another Tulane. That had just been another Dolly Madison. Hell, you throw Tech in there too, because, I mean, they didn't lose 20-17 yesterday, Wags. They got blown out of the freaking water yesterday.
Right.
I mean, that was just horrible. But, and for the folks thinking that with Kirby and Georgia, that losing this, this is one of Kirby's youngest teams that he's had right here with Gunnar Stockton and the kid running the ball and across the offensive front. I don't think you need to worry about Georgia going anywhere. I think Georgia's going to continue to do what they do, like you say, reload, because they reload just like that. Maybe a little kink in the armor right there with some of the Georgia stuff that we saw this year. The defense was, you know, questionable at times. We didn't see them playing at a very elite level for a while, but I think Georgia's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to be fine. I'm actually questioning what Alabama is going to have returning, right? Like, that's like everybody's talking about what Georgia this, Georgia that. You know, is Georgia going to be okay? Georgia's going to be fine. Is Alabama going to be okay?
That's, I mean, they better go win the portal too. I mean, because, and this is where I'm sitting there thinking about this yesterday, and I keep seeing Kalen DeBoer on the sideline, and I'm wondering if he's thinking, is it too late to go to Michigan? I can only imagine what's going on in Tuscaloosa today. I'm going to catch me some Tuscaloosa radio when we're done here at some point to just to hear what the feel is. I know my Alabama friends are all pissed off. It's like, this guy sucks. I'm like, well, maybe that team isn't as good. Maybe your team isn't quite as good as you thought they were. Like, we've been.
Well, look at last month, right? Like, Alabama struggled all last month. Okay. They struggled against South Carolina. They struggled. We talked about this. They struggled in the Iron Bowl too. We didn't think that they were playing their best ball coming into the playoff. And sure enough, this was the product that we got when they got on the field, right? Or I don't know. I mean, the quarterfinal, they answered some things in the quarterfinal, or in the first round rather, with Oklahoma being able to beat Oklahoma. But when they got into the quarters, man, we're talking about them playing Indiana too, right? Indiana's probably going to, For all purposes, Indiana's probably going to win out, guys. Like, they are a complete legit team here. I thought it was going to be Georgia, but you know, now, you know, with, you know, readjusting my roster here, or readjusting my playoff bracket here, Indiana looks like they're in full charge. Oregon might show up. They might. I like what I saw.
They're getting healthy. They're getting healthy at the right time. I think that's a big thing for them.
I still think Indiana has too much for Oregon right now, on offense and defense. They're loaded. They play very sound defense, and they're fast to the ball. They quit. They react.
they react quick to the ball too. It will probably be Ole Miss in Indiana, but I would not be shocked if it's Indiana, Miami, based off of what we've seen Miami in this playoff. I don't know what to think about Miami yet.
Yeah. The beginning of the show, you came on and you said, you asked about, did they get it right? And I know why you did that.
Did the committee get it right?
Because despite everything that we've been through and the questions about, did those G5s or whatever, did they belong in here? Did Alabama belong? Oklahoma, whatever, which, by the way, the more that I really dig into this, I don't think OU or Alabama should have been in the playoff, but whatever they were in. But when you look at this Final Four that we have, these two matchups right here, it seems like they got it right, right? Because
Indiana's never been there before. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Oregon has a national championship. I know they've been contending for one in recent years, right? But they've never actually been able to, you know, cast
the only one that does is Miami.
Call themselves number one or champions, right?
Yeah, Miami's the only one way back.
Miami, that was back with like the Ed Reed years, right? Yeah. So,
yeah. And by the way, Miami, Michael Irvin, calm down, dude. Your heart's going to blow up out of your chest someday.
Ain't no way that heart has been tested, okay? That heart, Michael Irvin has tested that body, all right? Oh, no amount of game is going to make his heart explode based off of what he's done in the past. Michael Irvin has been tested. That heart is calloused, buddy. It is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's like, dude, calm down. I mean, the way that dude sweats, I bet he drops 20 pounds at a game just watching. I'm like, dude, and attribute it to whatever you want to attribute it to. Rodney Smith, who do you replace Alabama?
Look, man, see, that's just it. I don't know. I don't know if you can, right? I think you kind of have to leave the pool there, right? I think that's why I think the committee kind of got it right. It sucks seeing the G5 schools just get boat raced, and ultimately that'll correct itself. But we had to go through failure to have the system kind of right itself, right? To get out all the quirks. It was going to take a few years, some grumblings, but maybe it gets perfected. Hopefully it gets perfected.
I certainly think that Dolly Madison and Tulane, I mean, whatever, that's a byproduct of the system they stay in, which, by the way, if you give them their own playoff, I mean, what's the luster? I mean, the school gets paid or whatever, you get on a national stage, but you go get boat raced in front of people. I mean, is that really, would you rather be in contention to win national championship against like opponents or go get destroyed in this playoff system? If you're
I'm with you, Double R, and it sounds homer as fuck to sit here and say that Texas should have been one of the last teams in.
Yep.
Right. Do you have a better argument? Hindsight's 2020, right? Yep. Of course. Right. But do you have a better argument of another team besides Texas? Like Texas, I think absolutely Texas could beat Texas Tech, 100%.
If Texas didn't get the final nod, if there was somebody else, you would have to go Notre Dame. I mean, because Notre Dame, it seems like to me, and just imagine that whole thing with this marketing thing about it. If Texas and Notre Dame would have been in this playoff, man, you got a pretty stacked field right there. And then with the other two schools down at the bottom. But I think Notre Dame and Texas should have been in over Alabama and Oklahoma, because they weren't playing great football at the end of the year, either one of them.
I think Oklahoma should have stayed in, but give me Texas over Bama for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else we got to get off the slate? I'm going to try to get a sweatshirt on real quick.
But before you do that, I do want to get this from you for our friends, whether it's calling your cousin, if you're one of WAG's clients, or you're going to be placing a little scratch. Got some big NFL coming up tomorrow. Two huge Saturday games, WAG's. Get your thoughts on Carolina and Tampa Bay, Seattle and San Francisco, and then the AFC North, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. I think that's the three biggest ones on the slate that we've got this week. Thoughts on any of that? I mean, Carolina, here's the talk about Cinderella. Here's Carolina playing to get themselves in the playoffs and win the NFC South.
I want to say that Mike Evans and company is too much for the Panthers. Bucky, I just feel like the Bucs have every piece that they need, but somehow, some way, the Panthers are able to make a game out of this, right? The line is still only 3. It hasn't moved much. Give me the experience of the Buccaneers to overcome the youth of the Panthers. Panthers get a good learning experience, and they'll be there next year, but not this year.
Yeah, I think this is when Tampa Bay wakes up, right? Because they've kind of been sleepwalking here. Have they lost five in a row?
They've been asleep for a month. Tampa Bay's been asleep for a month.
Golly. I mean, this is really the time to where you have to – because I think if Carolina – I keep making the whole stupid thing about to where Carolina would be the team that if there was a committee, you put them in and they really shouldn't be in. And I haven't changed my thought on that. Some of the other teams I thought about, like with Jacksonville, for example, I kind of thought the same thing.
We say that, but Carolina can play though, right? Like Carolina can play with just about any team out there. So
yeah. Hell, they beat Dallas. Come on. Yeah, you know, shit. Dallas and the Giants, buddy.
Go Cowboys. Yeah. Give me the Buccaneers. Give me the Seahawks to take down the 49ers. I want to give all the credit to the Seahawks here, but somehow the 49ers are finding ways to win with, you know, their battle of attrition too. So yeah, give me the Buccaneers, and then I'll take the Seahawks as the road team for my Saturday squad.
Golly, man.
Sunday, I do want Seattle
to win, but man, those 49ers, like we keep talking about, Wags, how are these dudes? Look, Shano, great job, man, holding this thing together.
Yeah, that's a testament of Shanahan's coaching pedigree, right? If you're able to win in multiple facets, and whenever you just got players, you know, getting injured or players just not wanting to show, high key players not wanting to show up, right? And you're just able to win somehow. Yeah, you're a pretty good coach, Shanahan.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Does Aaron Rodgers do it? Lamar is playing. No quit in that guy. I'd rather see
Baltimore wins. Give me Baltimore in Steel City.
Mm. Yeah, I think so too. I'm with you on that.
3.5, give me Baltimore. Give me the Ravens.
Baltimore make a run. If Baltimore gets in the playoffs, do they scare the shit out of you?
They don't. I'm not afraid of Baltimore. I don't know. Hold on. Let me walk them. With inclement weather, yeah, sure. Yeah. Right? But Baltimore is a team, like we've seen, that needs to get ahead of their opponent first, right? And they need to be able to play downhill and be able to run Derrick Henry.
I think for intriguing football, for cinematic football, you want Baltimore to get in over Pittsburgh. Because I think Pittsburgh, if they get in, they're going to do what we've seen for the last however many years, where, man, they get bounced in round one and get bounced ugly. And I don't see anything in the Steelers right now that tells me that they can legitimately get in there and make some noise, or where maybe Baltimore does do that. So, yeah, I think for the betterment of the league and the entertainment factor that we all devour so much with the NFL, get Baltimore in there. Get Baltimore in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Baltimore takes care of business. Any other games?
Man, I think that covered. Oh, we got plenty of games today, but I mean, you know, here we go. It's a full day of college football. But the other stuff is done. You know, no college football playoffs until, I guess, it is next Thursday. Thursday we get at it again. Ole Miss and Miami. Indiana
matters. Go Bobcats, go.
Yes, Texas State. That's right. That is a early kickoff coming up for Texas State. I think they win. I think
against Rice. Man. Yeah, I think they're okay against Rice. What's the line on this? Hold on, let me look this up.
Rice, come on, man. How
do they 18.5 is the line on this, man. I think Texas State's all right.
Oh, Texas State. Yeah, damn, you better cover that. What else do we have here? Shit, I'm in the wrong week.
Navy and Cincinnati. Navy by a touchdown. You like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think
Arizona versus SMU. Arizona, actually, SMU favored. Point and a half here over Arizona.
That I think that'll be a game worth waiting for. The aforementioned insert the blank auto part place name Liberty Bowl. I think that'll be a fun game.
You can't talk about that one, huh?
I don't hold nothing against those people. We're all friends. I got a lot of people that work, a lot of friends that work for them. So it's all good. Yeah.
I got you, man. Yeah, dude. Thank you for you know, going through all the mishaps or the hiccups there with the camera and whatever as we did the polar plunge today. Dom, appreciate you coming on and wanting to do the polar plunge, man. Actually, Tom was the one that talked me into it. I didn't really want to do this thing today, but when Tom calls, you answer. You guys know the drill.
So you've had, so you guys can tell us on back-to-back days here on Chaos Theory, the last, so we had our Michigan Insider on Wednesday, and now we have Wags. I keep seeing sexiness thrown onto the screen here. That's two back-to-back days of very pretty people on this program, Chaos Theory. So there you go. I think Wags, you are winning because it says a whole lot of sexiness right now. We are watching.
No, stop. I'm actually cold. I'm trying to cover up. As a matter of fact, man, I can't.
If you want to go put a shirt on,
yeah, I'm pretty cold, man. I'm wet. Yeah. I'm cold. I'd like to go put a hoodie on real quick.
Yeah, go ahead and jump out, and I'll hit the code of text line. A couple of things I want to talk about here while we wait for Jordan Scruggs, Longhorn and Lubbock making the comment there with the conversation about Texas Tech and the big goose egg that stayed up on the scoreboard yesterday. You could have combined Utah, BYU, and Tech, and not have beaten Oregon. Speed, talent, and coaching was superior. It's just different. It's a different class of football. And that's what it all comes down to, that's where college football is right now, that you have two conferences that are just superior, and they're superior for a reason, because you can go out and you can allocate funds and you can totally do what's been done before now at a level that is just unrestricted to go get people. And that's why you have these two conferences that are just far superior than everyone else. And for someone in the Big 12 to be able to compete, for someone in the Mountain West or the Fun Belt or any of these independents, the American, for them to be able to try to compete with this, they're just not going to be able to do it because they don't have the donors, they don't have the facilities, they don't have the infrastructure that these schools do. And when we talk about Alabama and OU not belonging, specifically those two, when you talk about them not being in the playoff, it's not like those two teams were knocked out of the college football playoff by a Big 12 school or knocked out of the college football playoff by a Sun Belt school. They were knocked out of the playoff by a better program, but by a better built program. And that's, this thing is built now to where the better team, just like the NFL, to where the better built team, because they're built teams now, they're going to win, and they're going to win championships. And to Wag's point, with this Final Four, I mean, it does kind of feels like the BCS, where the BCS would get it right eventually. It kind of does feel like that.
As shitty of an attitude as I had with the committee when this whole thing started kicking off, I feel like after this past weekend, we were able to have like some. It sucks that Texas isn't there, right? But after this past weekend, it feels like, or the results that we got, it feels like the committee might have got something right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's a great point from Bear. Because if you remember, for the longest time with Oregon, when Oregon became...
They dominated that defensive front.
Yeah.
Absolutely manhandled. Yeah.
When Oregon became relevant, I mean, I remember in the early, you know, mid-2000s into the early 2010s, to where it was, Oregon was all flash, all the different uniforms. They weren't physical enough. They weren't any
all,
of that.
It's all speed. Offense, only offense.
Yeah. Right. Nike money, all that, Phil Knight money. The Oregon program has changed now to where they are physical and they are prepared to compete for national championships. And that's a great example of how they have evolved.
Dan Lanning, so.
What's that?
Coach Lanning, so.
Of course. Yeah, that's the other part, Wags. The great hire. You have to have that guy that's going to come in and take, that's going to stick around, like Kurt Cignetti. He's not taking the money and running. He's seeing what's sitting there in front of him. And I saw this with the Lane Kiffin thing last night, where Lane Kiffin has to be watching this happen. And how could he leave? Lane Kiffin don't care about that. Lane Kiffin cares about him. No. That's what he cares about, I think.
I don't know.
I get the whole thing where you have to charge, right? You want to go build a championship at LSU.
You got to know that Lane knows what he had at Ole Miss, right? What would entice you to leave that? Okay. And ultimately, sure, it was a huge bag, right? But I guess and this is where I'm siding with Lane a little bit, okay? Because you're a family man, and I'm like, we love our family. Everybody would do anything for their family, right? Lane's underlying seller, or why he was there, was that his family was in Baton Rouge. His daughter was already going to school there. And if he could be a coach there and be with his family, then why not? All right. Mm-hmm. And he called it, I'm paraphrasing here. He called it God's plan or something like that. You know, he didn't know that God would have that in plan for me to come back here and be with my family and stuff like that. So, hey man, more power to you. If that's the case, you're chasing happiness, man. And we all that's having your cake and eating it too, Double R. That's what that is, man.
That's so exactly right.
I can't fault Lane for that. I can't.
Everyone's wired different. You know, that's where, you know, like the guy that just left North Texas, you know, Coach Morris, if that dude wanted to stay in Denton and he wanted to make them on the cusp of the college football playoff for as long as this thing hangs around for the next 10 years, that's great. But he's not wired that way. He wanted to take that next step. Lane Kiffin, he wants to make LSU a champion. He wants to get on that list.
It's not even that, man. I think it's as simple as LSU called, right? Like, you're at Ole Miss. LSU just called.
Yeah.
You're not taking that phone call?
Yeah. And like I mentioned a while ago, Wags, if they tell you, okay, we really want you so bad that as long as Ole Miss keeps winning this year, we're going to pay you what they were going to pay you.
The trends of prior coaches besides Brian Kelly, right? The trends of prior coaches before is you're winning a national championship within 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And that's the standard. Now, if you don't meet those standards, you're probably going to get let go. But ultimately, like, Lane has to think, I'm building a championship. I'm building a potential winner here at Ole Miss with these resources. What can I do in Baton Rouge with all of their resources? And guys, like it or not, when LSU calls, you're picking it up. You're picking up that phone. You just are.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those programs to where, look, I mean, we talk about the face of college football changing, but look, you still like USC right now. I mean, even USC,
right?
Yeah, yeah. USC, if they call you for offering or interested in you for the head coaching job, yeah, they haven't won a national championship.
I think you're picking up the phone, but I don't know if you're actually going to the campus, right?
Right.
That's a good point. But LSU, you're going and having a meeting. Right.
Absolutely.
I would say the standards at LSU are higher than they are at USC.
Yeah. Yes. And the answer to this right here, $500K last night that Ole Miss paid, or that LSU paid Lane Kiffin for Ole Miss winning. Yes. I mean, shit, that's a sweet gig.
That's a good gig. That's a good little gig right there.
I would
go win it all, Miss. Go win it all. Hey, before I jump on with Jordan, I'd like to use the bathroom and get some things going, if that's okay.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Right. Take care of that. We can banter right here a little bit and go back and look at some other comments, because we got
appreciate
a lot
it.
Of
thank everybody. Thank you guys for so much for tuning in to the Polar Plunge. We appreciate that. That's something that Tom and I really wanted to do. We didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. I, you know, pulled the curtain back. I was kind of a little under the weather a couple of days ago, so we were like, shit, man, if we can push it a little bit, you know, a couple more days and hopefully get it on the Friday show, everything should be good to go. But anyways, yeah, always good to have Tom McKay on, and whenever he's over the house, it's always a fun time. So
good stuff. AV Consultations, avconsultations.com. Here's a good one right here. Another one from Bear about Jacob Rodriguez. Yeah. There's no doubt about the talent of that guy. I mean, that was one thing that you knew all through the bye week and the time for Tech going in and making this magical playoff run that ended with a goose egg up on the scoreboard, that Jacob Rodriguez was the anchor of the defense. And if you really go back and you look at Tech, the other thing to think about was during the season, there were questions about the offense, to where the offense would go cold. And the offense yesterday, the defense early in the game put the Tech defense, put the Tech offense in positions to do something,
but Tech
could not do anything. I mean,
and that's it too. Like, you get, like, your defense can only stand up for so long, right? Without any help, right? Like, you have to get some type of support on the other side of the ball, just to, even if you're not scoring, you just got to give your defense a little bit of a reprieve and just not allow them to get the air back into the lungs so that they can go back out there. If they're on that field time and time again and just constantly on there, and the, you know, the opposition's winning the time of possession too, that defense is going to get just dismantled, or it's going to be in terrible form towards the end of the game, to where they're just smoked and fatigued. So yeah, that's kind of, to me, that it was, you know, the long game, right? Like, Oregon absolutely defeated them in the trenches, and you know, you saw that progress with the long game too. So
yeah,
you got to be able to score. You got to be able to score. Tech, go spend $50 million on the offensive line this year.
You can't even get in position to kick a field goal. I mean, come on. You could have matched College Station and got three, but they couldn't even do that. Jeez Louise.
Jay Guns, I'll be right back, guys. I'll be right back.
My man.
Happy New Year, Jay Guns.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Cold, man. Wet.
I thought you said old and wet.
Old, close. Shriveled and wet. Yeah. You know it. I'll be right.
You missed it. Wags and Tom McKay did a polar plunge into Wags' 54-degree swimming pool about 30 minutes ago, live here on the TV. You missed that, my man.
I did miss that. I did. See, I can't get a text back, but I'll hop in the chat and we'll get a response from Wags.
Your first regret of 2026 is that you missed Wags diving in the pool. And he did like the head dive. He didn't like dive in cannonball style. He went, you know, whoosh, Greg Louganis style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's your new year?
I told Wags, man, I made it to midnight. So I made it to midnight and my feet hit the ground the next morning. So, or I guess that same morning. So that's always number one for me. How about yourself, man? What'd you think of that intriguing college football playoff action yesterday? At least one game.
It was nice. Of course, the SEC brings the quality to the playoff, you know. Sorry, I'm not going to do that. I won't be that much of an SEC homer. But, no, I don't know. It was the Texas Tech Red Raiders completed the trifecta for the Texas Longhorns of their – I don't want to call Tech a rival for Texas, but, you know, your buddies at work that you can notch about – not scoring a point or a touchdown, and now the Aggies and the Red Raiders. So it's been pretty good. And I don't know if I'd rather score a touchdown or not score a touchdown or be Oklahoma and blow a 17-point lead to a team that got destroyed 38-3 by Indiana. So,
yeah, that's the one that seems – I know a lot of folks are talking about the combined, you know, 3 points of Tech and A&M, but to me, the Oklahoma one is so sweet. I mean, because those dudes are kind of starting to kick back in the easy chair, and they're like, shit, look at this. Watch this. And yeah, watch this, all right. So, yeah, all three of them go down in flames, man. But I'd love this Indiana team seemed really well-rounded yesterday, this team seemed like. But, again, this could go back to – you know, the quality of the opponent. I mean, just far better team is Indiana than what they played against yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Alabama is probably going to have more draft picks than Indiana will. Hunter Folks with a good question here. So has anyone looked at the initial rankings of Indiana players versus where they are now? Did Cignetti see something a lot of evaluators didn't? Or are a lot of these guys not a surprise? Yeah, I mean, they have done a good job evaluating. You know, Fernando Mendoza, who they got out of the portal, was a, you know, a clear and obvious top quarterback in the portal. But out of high school, he was a Yale commit. He was going to Yale, and Cal flipped him and ended up winning the job at Cal, became their starter. And so, you know, you can't give him too much credit for evaluating that one. But, I mean, they've hit on a lot of players. Even players he inherited, his right guard right now is a Westlake product, Bray Lynch. And Bray Lynch committed to and signed to the staff that was there before Cignetti. But he's in year four. So he's done a good job of sticking it out with the players he inherited, getting those guys better. He's done a good job hitting the portal. And he also brought over in year one in Indiana like 20 dudes from JMU. So, you know, they're doing a good job top to bottom. They have a really good personnel scouting department. And on top of that, they have the money to play with the big boys in the portal. Mark Cuban is funding them. He's going to get them a Josh Hoover or someone like that, a quarterback, a difference maker. They're, you know, and they're starting to spend money in high school recruiting as well. So Indiana does a good job. I also think, I mean, like, yes, at the end of the day, I think it's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. But Cignetti is probably the best coach in college football right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the things we talked about during Chaos Theory, is that you've got to get that hire right. I mean, I know it's a totally different environment with money thrown around and all of these different things, but you've got to get the right dude in place. And the simple fact to me that he re-upped there and made it very clear that he is staying at Indiana, he sees what he's built. And I think realistically, Jordan, they can take this forward for, you know, 5 to 7 years and keep building that way, because he's kind of doing it the right way, with evaluation, with talent, with finding the hidden stuff in the portal. It's really cool to watch how this team is built.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing a damn good job and they're setting it up to last. And yeah, I can't remember if that was Chip or Hank, but one of them also texted this in the group chat that Indiana looks like the early team to beat for Parker Livingston.
Wow. That's a great get, man. That is a great get.
Yeah, so I see a comment about Travaris Robinson. He's a safeties coach at Georgia. He's the main guy, main name that's been linked to Will Muschamp at Texas. Travaris Robinson did say, you know, happy for Muschamp, but it's go Dogs for me. We'll see. I still think there's a chance on that one. And with Blake Gideon, I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. I haven't done any work on the safeties coach search. That's been Chip and Hank. I've been focused on the portal and portal recruiting. So I don't have a good read on what's going down there and what's happening. The one thing I will say with Blake Gideon, Texas already has a DC title in Will Muschamp, a co-DC title in Johnny Nansen. Blake Gideon left Texas to get a promotion, yep, to get the DC title at Georgia Tech, to get the safeties coach title at Georgia Tech. At Texas, it doesn't make sense for him to come back unless he's getting a title. Now, there is an open one. Assistant head coach of offense is what Texas gave to Jabbar Jalouk to help beat out Kentucky. You can pay someone more with that type of title. And since Texas already had an OC and co-OC, you know, titled, they kind of created that position to help. I think that's what would happen with Blake Gideon if he does come back to Austin. But I don't have anything to say besides that. Nonetheless, I think it'll be a good hire. And you know, I think Sarkisian has done a really good job of hiring coaches, especially the initial staff when he got to Austin, but also the replacements he's made. Yes, he's whiffed at times, you know, Chad Scott being a great example, but more often than not, he's going to hit more than he misses on an assistant coach hire. So I'd say just be patient. That should come any day, potentially 2 days. So we'll see. But if you all have any portal questions, just drop them in the chat and we will hit on them. But
Jordan, I think to your point right there, I think that that's one of the things for me, kind of the resurgence and the you know, tides turning with the Texas program is what you were just talking about, because it's something that I've talked about for the last couple of years, is where he did get that staff and he had that staff intact for the longest time. I mean, there was never you may have the occasional change in the staff, but it was never like the knee jerk, like it kind of feels like that now. But I think that you look with the disappointments that you had this year, well, you had to have the changes. I mean, there were going to be changes because you didn't meet those expectations. But I think that that's one of the things that really shifted kind of a lot of the mindset and philosophy and consistency in the Texas program, is that you had the same fucking coaches year after year after year that were developing, you know, these different rooms, you know, in the program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were the only program, I think, in either the Power Four or FBS that had the same offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinator 5 years in a row.
Yep.
Obviously, no longer the case with Pete Kwiatkowski off the coaching staff, and, you know, he's been fired. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And speaking of coaching stuff, Texas announced they'd re-signed Chris Jackson, which. Yep. I'll be honest, it's a pretty big surprise. We've been hearing that was not going to be the case. So
I didn't think that was going to go down.
Yeah, and shortly after that happened, news broke that Cortez Hankton is officially going to be Ohio State's receivers coach. So thought the timing was interesting. You know, maybe Sark and Texas felt as if the options available to them weren't going, you know, to be an upgrade or much better than Chris Jackson, so they just ran it back with him. For those curious, it is a 2-year extension. Texas also extended Brandon Harris on a 2-year extension. Brandon Harris is the general manager.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting things going on in Austin. I'll say absolutely. That.
Yep. All right, Wags, I'll turn it back over to you. So look at him. Already sneezing. Already sneezing. Dude, you're going to be ill after the 54-degree dive.
I was sneezing before, man.
There it is. There it is. All right, guys. Y'all have a good weekend. I'll see y'all on Monday. Hook 'em horns, friends.